Summoned by a ransom note left for Delia Weatherby, our investigators travel to West Point Station to rescue her and Zeb, and finally find out who was behind the laboratory break-in. Surprised to find Jack tied up as well, they free her and confront the kidnappers, all of whom wear white and gold masks. A fight ensues that injures everyone, JJ most of all. The ringleader is revealed to be none other than Tressa, who in the moment of her demise reveals a new name, the Faceless, opening up a whole new mystery for the investigators of Lamplight to unravel.
The neon lights juxtapose to the darkness outside. The coffee machine still percolating even this late. The sizzle of meat on a grill. The quiet conversations of late night regulars and the raucous of those who have been out on the town, mingling, dancing, whatnot. JJ, you are at Izzy's, sitting in one of the vinyl booths, plastic table with corrugated metal around the edge in front of you. What food do you think would be sitting on the table in front of JJ?
Definitely sherbet, milkshake, like whipped cream, a cherry, sprinkles, one of those like straws that's like white with the red, like a candy cane straw, very classic. And then one of those like red baskets of just like fries. But I think she puts like salt and pepper on her fries.
Across from you in this diner booth sits a mug of half-finished coffee and a stack of forgotten pancakes. And a quiet, calm, peaceful, hey, kind of pulls you out of your thoughts. Zion gets your attention and a hand reaches out across the table, fingers like kind of gently alighting on your cheek, appraises you a little bit. Are you okay?
Yeah. I'm fine. A little tired, but when, like, are you okay? You haven't touched your pancake.
He pulls his hand back, leans back in the booth.
I think that makes her notice where his hand was.
It's been a few weeks since the night at the train station. You spent more time in the hospital than anticipated. Antonio concerned with the headaches you were having. But those have dissipated, mostly, enough to flub your way out of the care. The only lasting reminder are the scars. A starburst on your back, shooting lightning bolts across your skin, up and over your shoulders. A burgundy color, not light enough to be unnoticeable on your blue skin. They peek out under the straps of the tank top that you wear.
I think she'll touch, like, the back of her neck. You know, I've been meaning to, just with a little bit of trouble sleeping, meaning to go back in, just make sure everything's shipshape, but other than that, we solved the mystery. Everything was handled. Mama to the rescue, as normal.
I wasn't talking about the case, but it's good. You've just been a little quiet lately.
Well, I mean, the way some of you guys talk about it, shouldn't that be a good thing? She'll laugh and start playing with her hair. Really, I'm just... That was a long one. Rough ending. Takes you a little bit of time to rest up, and honestly, I'm a little bored. Not much interesting coming through after that, and it was very exciting. And she'll look at him in the way you look at somebody that you're like, I don't know why I'm trying to lie, this is dumb, but maybe she can throw him off her trail. I still need to talk to Joe.
Well, if that's what's really bothering you, then I think you should remedy that when you get a chance.
Yeah. I'm on it. But really, those pancakes. Come on.
Fine. He picks up his fork and his knife and he starts cutting it and he looks over at you and says, but maybe don't, like, describe your near-death experience as exciting. It wasn't exciting. And he starts cutting his pancakes a little more angrily than it seems necessary. And you hear a, oh, hi, JJ! Shuffling out from the back is this individual, orange fox-like in coloration, ears sticking out from behind a headband.
We missed ya! I heard what happened. Glad to see you're on your feet again.
And you see Tara, one of the owners of the Isthmus, or Izzy's for short, welcoming you.
JJ goes from, like looking down, like, almost like, oh, I said the wrong thing, to, like, nothing can keep me down. Are you kidding? A little bit of electricity isn't gonna take me out. It's good to see you. How have things been? My usual is as delicious as always.
Oh, well, I'm so glad. Things have been good. Kind of busy, actually.
I love when you're busy. That means that there's been lots of people in here. Lots of people talking. Do tell.
She looks around the shop as if to see if she has any responsibilities that need taken care of urgently. And then she kind of gestures for you to move over in the seat and shoves her little furry butt into the seat next to you.
They'll, like, slide down and move so the fries are, like, in between them and just leans in.
Anything specific you thinking about?
No, I feel like I've missed out on so much. Oh, I know there was Mr. Arrow and his wife. Are they still?
A fun little update to that situation. Mr. Arrow had joined this private club.
Is it the club?
Yes.
No.
Yes. And that's why Mrs. Arrow was mad, because he was being all secretive about stuff. And she just didn't know. It wasn't even as scandalous as we thought it was. And that somehow makes it more scandalous.
Wait, is she in the club?
It seems to be like a point of contention whether or not he wants her to join the club.
Oh, I'm going to put my ears out and I'll let you know if I hear anything, but...
Well, it would be wild if they both were at the club.
And of course, I've never been, but maybe I'll have to make an exception.
JJ, do you have, like, a little crush on Mr. Eros?
I have a little crush on putting my nose where it doesn't belong, if I'm being honest, but I know you understand. But as juicy as that is, anything new, anything hot, fresh off the press?
Nothing spicy per se, maybe something a little more, business for you.
Let me get out a pad and paper. I'm kidding, do spill.
I've heard a couple things buzzing around. In the underground, there's apparently an uptick in demand for something called Absium. It's a crystal, is what I've gleaned. Some special type.
Special in a power way, or special in a you think you have powers way?
Special in a people are willing to pay a lot of money for it way.
If you hear anything more about how it works, I'm very interested.
I could see more than that for you. Are you interested in a cellar?
And at that, I think JJ, like, intertwines their fingers and, like, leans their head on. I always know when I come here, I'm going to leave a different person. Of course I want to have that information. You are a blessing.
I'll keep my ears out and let you know.
Thank you. And do say hi to your partner for me.
Oh, will do. She went to bed early tonight.
Maybe you should close early for the night and go join. Unless you're going to head down to the club later with Mr. Arrows.
Well, I'm not going to do that. And
she comes out of her whispers with you and stands up from the table. And she points at the window to a flashing neon sign on the outside.
I can't close Izzy's. It's open 24/7.
And we are all so grateful for that.
Dependable is the name of the game, JJ.
JJ will kick Zion under the table. We're all grateful for it.
Yeah, ma'am. Thank you so much.
And Tara turns to walk away.
Oh! Remember that kid? A couple months back? The one that you guys found and has been in the clinic for a while?
JJ will have like a moment of like shock before like schooling it back into like, of course. I mean, it's one of our proudest moments finding them before they were hurt. Why? Did something else happen?
Well, apparently one of the teens from the community theater apparently met the same type of fate. Talk about speaking nonsense and then passed out and has been in the clinic for a couple days now. I'm surprised Mama hadn't heard anything about it given Gwen's position.
I'll definitely talk to Mama about that. Thank you for letting me know. It's also possible that perhaps it's less related than maybe people think, and it just didn't feel important, but it's also hard when we're not hired to be there. The connections don't always jump out.
Oh, it's all good. Sometimes information slips through the cracks.
But never slips past Izzy's.
You can count on that. Well, JJ, Zion, have a good rest of your...
Looks at her watch, which is this very interesting gadget that almost looks like if somebody had made a pocket watch into a wristwatch. So she has to like flip it open to see the clock hand. And there are like three or four different ones swirling around this clock face. And she says,
I guess have a good rest of your morning.
Oh, time flies. Thank you again. And I think JJ will put down like a solid tip and then like another slurp of their milkshake and prompt Zion like, I'm gonna go.
With his mouth full, he goes, I want to warm me first for pancakes. No, okay.
And just kind of sadly puts the silverware down and quickly chews the rest of the pancake in his mouth, kind of wipes the syrup on the back of his hand and wipes that on his jean pant leg and follows you out.
Don't let Mama know I saw you do that and didn't give you a napkin or something.
A grown adult, JJ. I can do my own laundry.
It's the principle of the matter, Zion. How many times does Mama have to tell you that?
And we are going to jump to a different location in the city, though still in Cypher City. Blocks away, down an alley, a garage door open to the night. Trash skittering by in the wind every so often. You hear the sound of sparks flying.
Ah!
Onyx pulls up a welding mask, the top of their head, and says,
I told you, Joe, you can't do it. The shit that this thing needs to be made from, I don't have access.
Joe has her hair, like, so spiky from just running her hands through it constantly. Grease and various other materials on her hands. She has, like, a big grease mark on her cheek. And she's, like, sweating and just pacing around.
Well, honestly, what are you good for?
All right.
Oh, God. Sorry. I haven't been dealing with...
It's important. I get it.
It is important. Do you know where we could get a hold of it?
This needs higher quality materials than the shit I scrounge up. And they toss just a piece aside as if to back up their point.
Joe picks the scrap off the ground and examines it. You're right. It is shite. Well, what are we going to do in the meantime?
Let me look at the thing again. And kind of motions for you to give him this piece of paper that you have been passing back and forth, which is the piece of paper that had that lens diagram on it that you found in Viola Weatherby's laboratory. And they go, see, I don't think the lens here is just glass. I think that's why it's not fitting.
Well, if it isn't glass, then what else would it be?
I mean, it could be a lot of things. There is that symbol on that page. I'm not familiar with it, but with it marked like that, maybe that's a name or signifies what it is, the material. I'm thinking it could be that fake shit that they make up that's cheaper, but I don't think that would make sense. I think it could be...
No, they wouldn't have spared any expense for this one. They wouldn't have resorted to cheaper materials. They would have, if anything, used things that aren't readily available on the market.
So maybe it's not even like glass. Maybe it just looks like glass. Maybe it's not supposed to be see-through.
Joe goes over to a little workbench that has alcohol and glasses on it and picks up a rocks glass that's about like half full with watery whiskey. And she shoots it back while Onyx says this. When he starts talking about maybe it's not glass, she holds her glass up to the light. Something like crystal, maybe?
They pause for a moment. They're comically wide eyes widening even more. And they slowly look up at you across the garage. Hand kind of slamming down on a tabletop as they lean into it. I mean, they'd have to, like, sand that down to nothing.
If you use a high enough heat, and if you use something equally hard, I mean, you'd have to sand it with diamonds, basically, but...
You'd lose so much of the crystal itself at that point. What would even be the point of it? You're just wasting materials.
Unless the properties are so rare that you can't use anything else.
A mystery, mystery. All right, so the point of a lens, when we think about it, you know, is to, like,
see,
magnify, or refract, or mirror.
So what special property would this have that you couldn't accomplish with glass?
You'd have to know what crystal it's made of first.
Joe examines the paper. Can't get over this marking. I've never seen anything like it before.
I mean, they're coming up with new breeds of crystal all the time, you know? They mush them together to make new things. Maybe it's just something like that.
Do you know anyone who's doing that?
I mean, what do you mean by no?
Onyx, are you keeping secrets?
No, I'm not keeping any secrets, Joe. I don't get involved in that shit. I like to do my work not fully above board, but above more board than that. Because otherwise you're going to be paying a lot of money and it's probably like a big corporation who's mixing and matching. Otherwise it's going to be some shady shit. I know it's happening. That's it. I don't have specifics for you. I know it's happening.
Onyx, I specifically have a lot of money and love shady shit. Why would you not tell me about this?
Doesn't matter how much money you have, Joe. These people are not... Once they do something for you, you're gonna owe them forever.
That's such an odd thing to say.
What?
Are you talking about drugs?
No, I'm talking about mixing crystals.
Onyx, I want to know what you know. I want to know who's doing this, and I want to see them. And I want to know who's paying a lot of money for these things. And if I can do the same.
You're gonna get me in trouble.
You don't have to be a part of it. Just write it down on a piece of paper and...
You want me to make physical evidence?
Okay. Perhaps you don't come with me and I go alone.
Perhaps. You stay out of it. Someone died over this, Joe.
I know.
I'm not gonna help you get yourself killed in some seedy underground market, okay? And they pointedly look at you. I'm not going to that seedy underground market with you to get killed.
You're very good, you know that?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Joe rushes over to him and grabs his face and, like, kisses the top of his head very dramatically.
Ah. Okay. Listen. If you have the money to blow and you get some of the shit that you need, come back to me. I got all this shit, we can use it.
Will do.
You better come back. Don't get yourself killed in that seedy fucking underground market, okay?
You know I never get myself killed. Maybe a little injured.
Couple close calls.
But I haven't been killed yet.
Do you want to take these with you?
And they hold up the plans.
Not to the seedy underground market that you're not going to, just home.
No, I will leave them at home.
All right. You can have them. I'll remember it. You got a pretty good memory.
Onyx, I doubt you'll figure anything out when I'm not here.
Okay. Well, with that attitude, we'll see if you come back, if I let you back in here. Now get out.
You don't have to let me back in if I don't have what we need.
Or if you do. And they smash a button on the wall, and the garage door starts coming down as you're, like, walking through it.
Joe definitely continues to, like, have her head in the empty space that is slowly shrinking. And she says, all right, we're friends. I want you to remember that. You love me. Yes, I will see you soon, unless I get killed. To the place that you sent me. You sent it to me specifically. Goodbye.
You are almost like limbo, low to the ground, and they smash it again so it stops where it is, and says, I called JJ when she was in the hospital, but I haven't actually seen her in weeks. She usually stops by for dinner, so just say hi for me, remind her of my existence. Thank you very much. Bye. And slams the button again and the garage door closes. It is a new day. Mom Amaretta, you're walking home. It's evening, turning dusk. The golden hour light without the sun. Turning down your street, you see the mayor courier outside of your house.
She'll hurry up her steps a little bit to catch the mail carrier before they leave.
As you approach, they say, good evening, madam.
Evening.
They whisk out in their gloved hand an envelope, pristine white, and hold it out to you.
She'll take it and say, thank you very much.
Have a good evening.
You too, be safe now.
Moves along down the street to the next house.
I guess she'll step inside of her place and make sure to close the door behind her, lock it and all that, and then pop open that letter.
Official and familial, the first thing falling out of the envelope is a smaller scrap of paper, and it reads, you don't often get to hear me sing. Publicly, that is. I procured a few extra invitations. I would love for you to come. Your dear brother, Andres. And then pulling out the next sheet inside is an invitation trimmed in gold. There are three of these pages, cardstock with official signage, and it reads, you are cordially invited to attend the Night of Gilded Birds, presented by the Arclight.
a night of music and dancing and drink. Dress code required, present your invitation at the door. And on each of these three invitations that you've received, it also allows each person that has an invitation to bring a +1 if they so choose. You have been to the Ark like once before, very early on in Andreas's career there. It is wealth galore, rich, opulent, colorful. The dress code of the Ark like is black tie in the sense of presentation, not in the sense of actual aesthetic. So you can be sure that no one in attendance will actually be wearing a black tie aside from the staff. But proper fancy dress is required, and you can interpret that how you will. But you have three invitations in your hands from your brother. Who receives them?
There is that urge to give it to both her kids, Zion and Yaro, should they be available for such an evening to go and see their uncle.
Zion answers the phone and is like,
"Ah, yeah, Mom. I got one of my own, actually."
"Guess I should check on your sister, too, see if she got one for herself. You got anyone you planning on taking as your +1?
I gotta kind of see if I can get off work first."
"I'm sure I can talk Ernesto into it if he really needs to be pushed around like that."
"Yeah, I don't know if a night of music is really my thing, though, but I'll think about it.
"Well, remember, it's for your family and stuff, too, but I ain't going to force you if you feel like you can't go."
I'll let you know.
"Okay. All right, be safe. Love you."
It takes you three different phone calls throughout the evening to get your daughter on the line.
"Yes, Mama, what do you need?"
"Hey, baby, I was just checking to see, did you get that invitation for your uncle about that event coming up?"
"I don't think I got any mail today, actually."
"Well, if you got the time," and she'll give her the time on the day, "got an invitation here that I can spare you if you want to come and check it out. It'd be a real nice event and stuff. Not many people get to go up to the Ark Light."
"Oh, I think that I would be interested in that. Is it for..."
"Your uncle, Andreas. He's performing there."
"Did you know if Everly's going?"
"That's a good question. I mean, I presume she'd go considering it's her father, but..."
"Well, I'd like to see it. I've heard it's quite beautiful inside."
"Yeah, it's real nice. I've only been once before, a long time ago, but it was gorgeous."
"I was reading about, I believe his name was Orville Flint, the man who designed the Ark Light."
"Really?"
"It's a weird coincidence, I think. Something about columns rising to the clouds. It was a little bit more poetic than my usual liking. I didn't finish."
"I mean, you'll be able to get to see the architecture up in person if you show up. So, maybe you'll see that, maybe some of that poetry might have been apt."
"Alright, it seems like a good idea. If I don't get an invitation, I'd definitely take one of yours."
"Alright, and how you been doing?"
"Just busy with the usual. I've got a new paper I'm working on. Hopefully it'll be published."
"I'm sure it will. You're real smart, honey. So, anyone will be lucky to publish with your name on it."
"You're my mother. You have to say that."
"Well, I know. I might be biased. But still."
"My eyes are quite heavy right now. I spent all day in the library. Too much strain, I think. If you mind, I'm gonna go close them for a bit."
"All right, rest up, baby. Fix yourself something to drink before you rest up."
"Will do. Love you, Mama."
"Love you, too."
Over the next few days, you get a call back from Yaro, who has finally received the invitation, though latent. And she is definitely going to be there. Zion has been giving you a little bit of a runaround on whether or not he is going to show his face. No good excuse for it, trying to do everything in his power to change the subject whenever you ask. With your two children having received their own invitations, Where do your two extras go?
I will give it to my other two children. Next time those two come into the office, Mama Amaretta will present them with their invitations, and they can take up plus one. And then maybe she can convince Zion that someone might be there that might be more enticing to go and support your uncle.
You ask Antonio to be your plus one, and he lets you know that he did receive his own invitation, but he is working a late shift that evening, and so probably will not be able to be in attendance. Pardon the interruption, but here's another show we think you'd like.
The Badlands. A truly godforsaken place. You'd have to be crazy to leave the safety of Threed for its sands. Legend has it that beneath this blighted earth, something truly powerful lies dormant, calling out to any traveler brave or desperate enough to listen. One day, aboard a doomed train into the wastes, three strangers heed that call. A shape-shifting bounty hunter.
Strangers gone by many names, friend.
A runaway socialite.
Okay, girl, well, you just did your mascara, so no more crying for today.
And a former thief turned family man.
I promise that I will be back, and I will do my absolute best to right you.
Will our runaways find what they're looking for?
I mean, we're already here, let's have a little fun.
You really went in there, guns blazing.
I thought that was the plan.
My potions are miraculous.
I thought we were being quiet.
Oh, Stump only has one volume, sorry.
Wild roses grow out of his mouth, having filled his lungs.
What's happening out there?
Violence!
Find out on Mage Hand High Five, The Badlands. And just between you and me, they ain't got a chance in hell.
You can find the links to this show in the description box below. The mists roll across the valley, over the bodies of hundreds of dead, as a large figure rises above the mountains, too large to be anything mortal. Enter Pocket Bard, immersive audio made easy. With an ever-expanding music library, Pocket Bard has made soundscaping for your TTRPG needs seamless and so very simple. The easy-to-use app provides you with scenes that include ambiance, weather patterns, quick and easy sound effects, as well as backing music with just a touch of a button. Transitioning from town to a long travel journey? Don't worry. A large selection of the music and soundscapes adjust to your adventures, transitioning seamlessly into the next scene. You'll unlock a wide variety of music for all genres of play so that you can weave an incredible tapestry that'll make playing at your table even more memorable than it already was. Check out Pocket Bard at www.pocketbard.app or head to your nearest app store on iOS or Android to access the magic right now.
Have you been wanting to bring your home games to the next level? Maybe you're looking for the perfect holiday gift for the TTRPG-loving person in your life. Well, during the Hero Forge Black Friday sale, you can get savings as big as the stories you tell. Maybe you're a DM and you want to gift something physical to your players of their player characters in your campaign. Or maybe you're a player and you want to give the gift of an NPC in the form of a miniature. You can save 20% on physical miniatures and accessories, such as their iconic color plastic miniatures, their new, super cute custom acrylic keychains, or their 3D printed custom dice, as well as 50% on digital miniatures and STL files. The sale ends December 1st, so don't delay! Restrictions apply. Head to heroforge.com/sale for more details.
Hi, I'm Maia, and this is Maia's Game Room, a narrative actual play anthology featuring short-form, story-driven TTRPGs. Each season tells a new story using a different rules-light system brought to life with sound design, editing, and emotional-rich roleplay. So, if you love cinematic storytelling and character-driven drama, come check out Season 1, set in the haunting world of the Electric State RPG. Just search Maia's Game Room wherever you get your podcasts.
The Arc Light is a thing of beauty. It is a lounge. It is a performance venue. It is a gallery. It is an event space. It has a strong marble facade on one side, and on the other, a beautiful, dynamic golden sculpture that bleeds right into the glass overlooking the gardens. It's lit by 100 glittering chandeliers and crystals. Every surface is polished to a glimmer, allowing for the bouncing of light that makes the place even brighter than it actually is. Mama, as you pull your car up outside, a young individual opens the door as soon as you break, a hand out to help you out. I would be more than happy to park your car for you.
Thank you very much.
They help you out of the seat and they replace themselves in it, putting the car in drive and pulling out, and you watch just around the next corner.
Mama Amaretta steps out of this car wearing this, like, kind of golden, bronzy dress that has, like, that kind of turns into a soft white at the bottom. And the bust and shoulders are, like, encrusted with, like, these nice jewels. And it seems to, like, evoke these nice puffy sleeves that kind of, like, round out her shoulders and then hug in at, like, tight at the forearms. And gives, like a nice mermaid cut, almost. And, like, a little, like, heart line. And her shoulders are exposed. And it's all cinched in, so it just has all the curves in all the right places. She has, like, kind of, like, this deep red lipstick going on and almost kind of, like, this 1920s-esque style makeup. Her long hair is tucked back into, like, this kind of, like, bun, and then her bangs are kind of finger-curled in with, like, the natural curves of, like, the curls of her hair and stuff. And she looks amazing. She definitely looks like she kind of, like, belongs in this place. She's very excited and happy to be here. And there's just this glowing grin on her face with her little cane and a nice fan to boot with a clutch purse.
JJ showed up at Arthur Winch's apartment door not as early in the morning as the first time. And this time when Arthur answers, he has on a white shirt. The sleeves are rolled up to the elbows, tucked into green trousers with brown leather suspenders onto the back. And the top 2-3 buttons on the shirt are undone, hair slightly tousled, a little bit of sweat on his brow. And you present this invitation to Arthur. And he takes it and he looks at it. This is a lot fancier than what we have been doing. Are you sure?
It's fancier than I'm quite honestly used to. But I have fun together, and it's music. If you have a outfit that you can wear, I'm still trying to scrounge something up.
It might not be exactly perfect, but I've got something that I wear to speeches and the like. Maybe that would do.
Perfect is boring, if we're being honest.
Well then, I've got something. Do you want me to meet you there, or go together, or...
Well, I was thinking I could swing by and maybe we could have a nice walk beforehand. Get ready for the stuffy people we'd be surrounded by.
I like that a lot, I think.
Excellent. I'll pick you up at 8.
Sounds like a date. As you step up onto the sidewalk, Mama can kind of catch a glance of you out of the corner of her eye, and as her head turns to look, JJ, what are you wearing?
JJ is in a pair of long, very tight pants and a very flowy, like almost of a like a chiffon style, like gown that's kind of watercolor painted with oranges and reds up the bottom into like this nice lilac purple that matches like when JJ is to blush the color of her cheeks. And then on top, it is a like chiffon with very like puffy sleeves, but it's layered. So like it's like orange underneath like a yellow underneath a like pinkish one. So like it changes as like she moves, and it's a cropped sort of jacket. And their hair, which is almost always in ponytails, is nicely like curled and left down.
On your arm, Arthur has on very well-fitted metallic pants that shine a little bit, brown loafers. When you had shown up to pick him up, you would notice that he had on this black see-through lace, like skin-tight shirt that was covered by a jacket, and it caught you as odd because he said he had something to wear that he wore to like speeches and events. And he said,
this is Brosley's. She let me borrow something a little bit more fashionable.
He has his arm threaded through yours, and he goes to run his hand through his hair, except he realizes that it's like gelled and he can't do it or he'd mess it up. So he kind of stops, but you see that his finger kind of like pulls one out and it just like curls around his forehead and like frames his temple. And he walks with you over to where Mama Amaretta is standing. If you don't remember me, name's Arthur. And puts a hand out to Mama Amaretta.
Oh, of course I remember you, Arthur. And she'll say, and shake his hand out. You say, how you been?
Looking for employment.
Well, I mean, with a name like that, it might be the best thing you ever had or the hardest thing to do right now.
It's landed somewhere in the middle.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure luck will turn up soon.
Tonight could be great for networking.
True.
Smiles over at JJ. Hadn't really thought of that.
This is a good place to meet folks.
Joe was, you could say she was at the circus, but more accurately, she was outside around back of the circus with a woman that she had seen in the back room getting kind of like harassed by one of the patrons. And so she was like, hey, why don't you give me a private dance instead? But then they just ended up making out in the back.
The door into the back alley shoves open.
Well, this is new or old. Or I guess I'm just usually involved in it.
Joe kind of like breaks away for a second, wipes her mouth a little, and is like, oh, well, the lovely Liana here doesn't know you, so I thought extending an invitation your way might be a little off-putting to her.
No, it's fine. I don't want to be involved.
Liana, this has been incredible.
Save it, sweetheart. It's okay.
I think I have a conversation to have.
Oh, no, please. I didn't mean to, like, interrupt that. I come outside of the bar. I'm not expecting to find that. It was just a little surprising, Liana. You have a great night. Okay, see you later. And Jack shoves the door closed behind her.
Didn't mean to interrupt.
I didn't mean to interrupt. I didn't know you were back here. Well, I didn't mean to interrupt, and then I saw you, and then I interrupted on purpose, but I wasn't looking to interrupt.
Right. You want to smoke?
Always.
Joe takes out her gorgeous, like, bronze filigreed cigarette case, and a very convoluted-looking lighter, hands one smoke to Jack, puts another between her lips, lights her own, lights Jack's.
Jack puffs. Leans against the wall, one booted foot up against it.
No, I truly didn't mean to interrupt you, and then it was funny. Okay, so just
it became a joke type of thing.
I forgive you.
Thank you. Goodness gracious. I have to beg here. I have to, like, get on my fucking knees.
That would be a good sight.
My knees would get dirty. Look at the ground.
You're right. How have you been?
Oh, you know. I've been...
Oh, I was expecting you to say another word at the end of that sentence, but I suppose... No?
Existing. Trying to wrap my head around the fact that I got the shit kicked out of me. You see that it looks like most of the wounds have scabbed over, and the bruises aren't dark anymore. They're kind of like a sickly yellow. I didn't go MIA on you on purpose, just like I didn't interrupt you on purpose. I just had to deal with the aftermath of Tressa, and the roses didn't take too kindly to that.
I understand, but you could have called. I was just wondering if you were alive, if you'd gotten any sexy scars out of it.
Oh, I mean, maybe you'd like this. And she rips her shirt out from where it was tucked into the front of her pants and pulls it up, and you see what are very dark, very fresh, bloodied bruising along her abdomen. The roses know where to hit you, where it's hidden, you know. But does that do it for you?
Not exactly.
I'm sorry.
I was hoping more for, like, you know...
Not painful shit?
Cheekbone placement, yeah, something... Something a little more aesthetically pleasing. That just makes me sad.
Hey, I know what I signed up for.
Speaking of signing up for things...
Oh, no. Don't try to pull me into anything else that you are doing. I got in trouble last time.
It's not anything dangerous. No, I promise. It's not anything... It's a party.
Oh, well, aren't we fancy?
It is quite fancy, actually, so I don't know if it would exactly be your scene, but... I do have a plus one, and as much as I would love to bring Liana, I figured I'd ask you first.
Where is this party happening at?
The Arclight?
Let's out a deep sigh. You think that they're gonna be okay? With me walking in there?
Honestly, I'm not sure.
If you're okay with being seen on the arm of a rose, I guess we can go, but you gotta know people are gonna know who I am.
Suppose that's a risk I'm willing to take.
Well, then I could do with a party.
Free booze.
I could really do with a party. The bike skids to a halt outside of the arc light. You can see Mama dressed so beautifully. JJ, in clothes you're not really familiar with JJ wearing a lot, with an individual who you can't tell who they are from behind standing next to her.
Joe is wearing leather trousers, very pointy, sharp steel toe black boots, a very low-cut, sheer, ruffly white blouse, and an intricately embroidered velvet blazer, along with so many rings, necklaces, earrings, you name it, every bit of jewelry in various metals. And it shouldn't work, but she has so many of them that it all kind of matches. She's wearing eyeliner that she kind of just put on and then rubbed her eyes a bit to get that effect. And then doing her hair usually just means dunking her head under some water and slicking it back. But since she gave the helmet to Jack in the wind, it kind of got a little loose and it has those, like, pieces falling down.
Jack takes off the helmet, kind of holds it under her arm. She is wearing a dark navy blue, like, suit set. The pants are, like, skin tight, and they have these dark gray leather, like, straps around them, around the thighs. And there is a black shirt under a leather vest that has like a bunch of these silver chains and like metal gears like that stick off of it. And over this metal gear contrapted vest is a same navy jacket that is open to show what's underneath, and the collar isn't folded over, it's just a straight collar. An individual runs up to you and says, I can park your vehicle if you'd like.
No, thank you. You can tell me where I can park it?
Of course. If you just go down this street right here, and then you'll turn right, there is an alley to the left, and if you pull down there, we have a line of cars. You can just park where you fit.
Thanks. Joe sends like a wink in the parking attendant's direction.
They stumble over their feet and their face gets super red. You really do just make people fall all over for you.
The talent, skill, whichever you want to call it.
Don't leave me here too long by myself and then hand you the helmet back.
I won't. Make some friends, why don't you? And then she like kicks the engine and shoots off.
Jack slowly walks across the sidewalk, apprehensive towards the group of individuals that she is vaguely familiar with, some more than others, some not so vague, and she does a weird, like, salute thing when she gets up to you all. Hey.
Evening, Jackie. Amaretta says she flicks open her fan.
I think JJ's face, like, falls for, like, a moment. I didn't think they extended invitations to just anybody.
Oh, I mean, I don't have an invitation myself.
So what are you doing here?
Oh, she didn't tell you.
And I think we see another moment of JJ's face, like, Don't say that. Don't say who you're about to say invited you.
She's just parking the bike.
So it's not this place that invites just anybody.
But I don't think I...
Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm being so rude. Arthur, this is Jack.
I was gonna say, I don't think I know you. Nice to meet you. And she grabs Arthur's hand and, like, shakes it out of the the socket almost. And he's like, okay, yeah, good to meet you too. Yeah, Arthur.
JJ will, like, take the arm that Jack was just shaking and, like, take it so it's, like, tucked under theirs and just, like, yeah. Jack is, what are you doing these days? You're just around, you know, one of those people you see.
I'm definitely just one of those people you see.
You know, when you see a squirrel crossing the road or...
Okay.
Dead in the road.
All right. I could just go wait over there. Nice to meet you, Arthur.
Oh, there's no reason for anyone to wait somewhere else.
That was quick. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
I said I'd be quick. JJ, Arthur.
You all, Mama Amaretta leading, turn with the other patrons in the crowd that are coming in to enter into the arc light. At the doors at the front, are ticketeers checking each invitation before gesturing guests through the double doors. You follow a line of individuals slowly checking jackets, readjusting suits and dresses, fixing makeup, down this long hallway and up a wide set of marble stairs. You can already hear the music, a familiar voice to Mama singing atop it. The stairs part to either side and circle around, and at their very top is a large open entryway. You can see people walking, talking, dancing, swaying. This hall that you enter is 3 stories tall. The ceiling is glass, the stars visible past the light pollution. To your left is a stage, a large circular window framing it perfectly. Columns line the walls, vines elegantly placed climbing up them to the top. And Mama, you recognize your brother, Andreas, standing on stage in front of a microphone. For a man who looks so gruff, graying hair and beard, stern, wide brow, cutting cheekbones, his voice is smooth and gentle, with just the right amount of rough edge. And his brows seem to ease, eyebrows rising, as he sings, croons. Dark purple and black striped pants tucked into the top of black-heeled boots. His shirt is gray and cinched around the neck with a dark purple cravat. His vest is a yellow paisley. And there's a long collared jacket neatly folded over a chair on the stage next to him. And a top hat sitting there as well. He doesn't see you as you walk in. His eyes are closed as he enters the chorus of a song. Danny, do you have any interest in rolling your new move that you chose for entering a new location?
Yes, I would love to. That is a 7.
You can ask me a question that you have about the location.
In terms of exclusivity, is this like exclusive even for the people in Nova, or is this like a thing that people in Cypher usually can't get? The people in Nova generally pulling the right strings that most people have access to could get a spot here, or is this like a...
So the lounge of the Arclight is the most common space part of the Arclight. This is not that. The lounge is a place where your brother often regularly sings. It is simply a high-end type of bar, though. So drinks that are out of price ranges for most people. It is still a little bit of a classier establishment. They do have a dress code in there as well. But it is open to the public if you meet the standards. The event space, the gallery space, this performance venue that you've entered upon is technically available for anyone, but you have to reserve and book it. And they are very picky in their choosing of who gets to use this space and for what.
My brother's been moving in some circles recently, it seems.
He booked a really good gig. Like, he's just a good performer, and the Arc, like, creative staff liked him. And, yeah, he fell in with the right people for this job. Holy shit! This place is insane.
You've never been here before.
I haven't been in this room here before. I've been in the basement a couple times.
Yes, well, the thing that you learn about places like this is most of them look the same.
And they don't like when you yell, holy shit.
Oh, well, good to know. Thank you. I won't yell holy shit in the hall.
I think Joe shoots JJ a look.
JJ will shoot it back.
You see people mingling about this room. You see that there are servers walking around with trays of hors d'oeuvres, trays of champagne. There is a beautiful wooden bar off to one side with a glass top, these glass shelves on the wall behind that are filled with bottles and also intertwined with gorgeous, colorful purple, pink, blue flowers.
Joe lifts 2 glasses of champagne off of a passing server's tray and hands one to Jack.
She clinks the tops of your glasses together.
Cheers.
Cheers? She takes a very hesitant sip, and you see the slightest twinge in her face, but she doesn't say anything.
What is it?
Nothing. 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 It's fine.
No, please. Now you must.
It tickles.
It tickles? Have you never had champagne before?
I haven't. haven't. No. Why would I have champagne? Why would I have anything like this before? What, you think I'm sitting at the table with the people in charge sipping whiskey or something? No. I'm getting fucking beaten up in the storage closet. It tickles. Back to that. Why?
Combination. I don't know how they get the bubbles in there.
Yeah, no, I want a whole fucking history lesson on, like, how they make champagne, how they make sparkling wine. No, I'm just kidding. Anyways, I don't think I'm gonna drink that.
More for me. And Jo downs her own, and then also Jack's, and looks around for a moment, and then just places both of the glasses on whatever surface is closest to her.
JJ will turn to Arthur. Do you want champagne? I think I saw someone with those, like, little, like, you know, like, they're, like, hot dogs, but they're not, like, they're, like, you know.
And the little bread?
Yeah.
I would love that.
I'll be right back.
Arthur puts one of his hands in one of his pockets. It's lovely to see you all again, truly. I don't think I ever thanked you. Talked to JJ about it briefly. You know, it doesn't change what happened, but should be good that there was some closure for the Weatherbys. She was one of the best. But I don't know how any one who comes after her is gonna live up to my expectations. But alas.
JJ comes back with, like, a comical amount, like, balancing two, like, glasses in one hand and then, like, as many mini hot dogs in bread as possible in the other.
Oh, do you think I could have one? And Jack kind of reaches over to try to grab one from your hand.
Yeah, the, waiter's over there.
Oh, okay, I see. We're not there yet. Understood.
I will go grab you some. You can come with me?
Yeah, I'll come with. You and Jack walk away to find some foods.
Once they walk out of your range, JJ will, like, offer and... I'm being rude. I apologize. Jack and I were... We were really close friends for a long time. And Jack decided to go with a group that I felt uncomfortable with, and we never really spoke about it, and Jack has made it clear several times how she feels about me, and I'm letting it get personal in a space where that's not appropriate.
I need you to roll the mask. It's a little lie of omission, but it's still a lie.
So 9. I think they give you the benefit of the doubt and remain convinced, even if there is some evidence of your lie.
Arthur says, yeah, I noticed some tension. Figured there was something there that I didn't yet know about. I hope I'm not getting in the middle of anything.
Oh, no, it's just, you know, when you don't like somebody and then your friend starts dating them and then doesn't tell you that they're bringing them, I just caught me off guard. I wasn't prepared.
It's a very specific situation that I can't say I've been in.
Fortunately, Joe seems to wiggle her way into it a lot.
Well, she has an air about her, of course she does, so unsurprising.
And I think JJ will, like, look up at, like, wherever Joe is. When Joe's in a room, it's hard for people to not look. I can't say I blame her.
As Joe walks off and Arthur and JJ are having this conversation, JJ is the only head that turns to watch Joe walk away. Arthur reaches out and squeezes your arm a little bit, trying to comfort, reassure you. But personally, you're more my speed.
I think I'm much easier to get to know, certainly.
Mama Amaretta, you hear a call that echoes around this space. Auntie, you're here! And walking swiftly, never running, is Everly. She is Mama Amaretta's niece. She is Andreas's daughter. She is wearing this white dress that hugs her tight around the neck. And atop it is like another dress with like thin red straps, and the red kind of attaches under her breasts across her rib cage. And it goes down to like mid-thigh, and then the white dress comes out farther beneath. And she has her hair up in this beautiful bun with golden leaves intertwined through it. And a golden chain with a locket sits against her chest. And she has a bright smile on her face as she comes near to you and just pulls you into a hug. It's been so long.
It's been way too long, Everly, as Amaretta gives her, returns her hug with a bit more crush and force, you know. And then also teasingly pinches her cheeks and just says, "You look absolutely stunning. I mean, just wow. You glow against the light, baby."
She steps back and like appraises, like looks down at what she's wearing. She says, "Thank you. I tried."
"Your father is great as ever."
"I mean, that's quite the outfit. I don't know where you found that pattern, but I don't dress the man. Mother's here, if you want to see her. She's right over there." And she points over next to the stage where you see Gwendolyn Segovia, Andreas's wife, just wearing a beautiful blue dress with brass buttons and buckles. From like between her breasts attached to the corset of this dress is this beautiful, what would be a very thick necklace, but it's attached from the corset up her like clavicle and up to her neck, where there is a collar around her throat. From the collar extend these like velvet teal sleeves that cover her shoulders. And then the skirt itself, this blue skirt, blooms out from her waist and glides all the way to the floor. Her hair is pulled back into this messy way that she has always managed with ease and seems to have passed down to her daughter. Her brown skin is painted with highlights and charcoal. Her ears glint in the light from the sheer amount of rings hooked around the lobes. And you see that she has her hands on the shoulder of a young girl, looks to be about 12 or 13, maybe 14, in these black leggings with a simple like green dress with these sheer long sleeves just over these leggings. And she's standing next to the stage with this young girl who's just looking up and watching Andreas.
Amaretta's gonna go over and say hello to her best friend since childhood. The one she actively set up with her brother. she actively conspired to get them together and succeeded, very clearly. She'll grab herself and Everly a glass of champagne as she walks out to Gwendolyn to say hello, give her a hug if she likes, and, you know, catch up, see what's up. It's been a while.
Amaretta, and you give her a hug. And she says, "Well, don't you clean up nice?"
"I try."
"It's been a while since we've had any reason to."
"Well, I mean, not like anyone goes to the Arc Light often. And you, of course, looking gorgeous as always."
"Thank you. This is a special evening. I've got a musician here to present, and..." She kind of pushes the young girl a little bit more outward for you to see. "This is Viev. She's a little nervous, but we've been working on stage presence. She's going to do absolutely wonderful."
Well, Javi, it's a pleasure to meet you. And she'll stick out her hand to give a shake to the shy girl and just give a very gentle, friendly smile.
And you see a shy little smile appear on her face, and she kind of like looks up at you through her eyelashes. Hi. I've never performed for this many people.
Well, I'm sure you do amazing. May I ask what you're performing?
I'm gonna sing a song. Probably not as good as him, but...
Oh, well. Andreas is old, and he's been doing it longer than you've been alive, so... I think he has a bit of an unfair advantage on you at the moment, but... I think one day maybe you'll catch up. Maybe even shine brighter than the rest of us.
Oh, thank you. I hope you like it.
I'm sure I will. I'm sure everyone's gonna be amazed.
There is a clinking of a glass, and you hear the band on stage pull to a halt. You watch Andreas step back from the microphone and gesture to this woman who is climbing up onto the stage. And she taps on the microphone, and it gives like a little bit of feedback, and she goes, huh? Sorry. Well, good evening, and welcome to the Night of Gilded Birds, Nova's annual gala to show off and curate new and upcoming art. I am Rosalind Glynn, the head organizer of the Society of Inspiration, and your host for this evening. In 1 hour time, in this room, you will be serenaded by a hand-selected group of young people hoping to catch their next break, hoping to find their sponsor, their agent, a patron. In the meantime, we hope that you enjoy the hors d'oeuvres and sparkling wine. She points to the back of the room. Through the hall in the back, you will find a gallery of fine arts, if that is more to your liking. Some pieces are for sale. You can check with any of our staff in the dark green. They are there to help you. If you'd like to make a donation to the society at large rather than a specific artist, you can speak with me personally. Enjoy your evening. And she steps off the stage and the band starts back up and Andreas begins to sing once more.
Mama, I know I've heard Andreas before, but... he really is talented.
I know, we're quite proud. I mean, believe me, I used to have to tell him to shut up every single time he was in the shower because he'd take too long because he kept singing. But, well, glad he kept going.
I know what that's like. My roommate. I mean, sometimes they can be in there for like half an hour.
I mean, if you know where the water heater is, a neat trick is just to turn off the hot water. It'll get him out real quick.
That's a good one. I'm trying that tomorrow. I know it's going to happen again. JJ, if you don't mind, I think I glimpsed an old professor of mine.
Oh, yeah, of course. I'm pretty easy to spot.
I'll be right back, and then leans in, leans out, and then quickly leans back in and kisses you on the cheek.
JJ will, like, bashfully, like, oh.
I'll be back.
Like a squeeze on the shoulder and, like, a nod. Mama, what was Zion up to tonight?
Well, baby, I don't know. He said he was busy, I presume, with work or something, but... he takes a bit after his father. Fancy things aren't to his liking.
I tried to complain with him about it, and he just said, oh, I don't think I'm going to go.
He's also a bit dense.
About what?
Lots of things, and just fans herself.
That's true.
You know, but just gotta be a bit more blunt with him.
About what?
I don't know, whenever you just, you know...
I guess I should have just asked what he was doing tonight if I wanted to know.
Yeah, I mean, he said he was probably working, so I assume working is what he is. I mean, we could probably drop by afterwards if, you know, we're hungry or something.
Though if they keep bringing around these plates of thank you very much, and she'll pluck another hors d'oeuvre of some kind.
Jack kind of twirls around, so she's walking backwards, and Joe is kind of following her. I don't know about you, but I'll take a look at some art.
I was just thinking the same thing. Although, if anyone else catches your eye, please don't let me monopolize your time here.
Oh, so you invite me as a date and then you try to get rid of me?
I'm not trying to get rid of you.
I see how it is.
I'm letting you know your options.
She'll take a girl to go look at art, but then say goodbye. I don't know what it is. I'm getting mixed signals here.
Are we gonna look at art?
Yes, come on, let's go. You exit through this hall with just enormous doors into a smaller room that has paintings lining the walls. There are a few stands throughout the room with sculptures on them. And Jack kind of prances over to one of the paintings, crosses her arms over her chest. I like that one.
Joe kind of bends at the waist to read the little description card next to it. Oh. She recognizes it.
It is a oil on canvas abstract of a garden scene. And Jack says, oh, I bet that's out back, like in the gardens outside. It's kind of weird to put pictures of your home in your home. Weird. I don't know why they would do that.
I think my mother has one of these. Well, not this painting specifically, but from this artist.
You hear another voice. Well, that would make sense. There's a few of these in this collection. They are garden paintings, and walking towards you is a young woman who is the spitting image of Mama Amoretta about 30 years ago. And she has this high-necked, like, jacket on that falls, like, over the shoulders, but then curves under them, and the tail of it goes down her back. And she has on a white, lacy shirt and this thin, almost like bronzish color skirt that swishes down around these heels that raise her still not to Joe's height. And the garden series is one of the better known. There's many kinds. They're around the world. I wouldn't be surprised if many people had a version.
Have we met?
Not officially. You seem familiar. I think you know my mother.
Yarrow.
Pleasure to meet you.
It's a pleasure to finally meet you. Yes, I'm Joanna. Joe, if you like. This is Jack.
She doesn't shake hands. She has her arms kind of crossed on top of each other in front of her, and she nods at your introduction and looks at Jack and says, they didn't stop you at the door. And Jack says, no, I guess I hide it well. Well, continue appreciating the painting. I didn't mean to butt in, but you seemed to be interested, and I had some information to share, so.
No, I am. Gosh, this is wild to see you. You look exactly like your mother.
Well, that's what they say. More like her than my father.
Joe kind of, like, screws up her face at
the mention of Dimitri and...
Oh, it's been years now. We have to get along with it.
I suppose I'm just used to being sensitive about it. Being around your mother so much.
She has her hang-ups. She does. But let's not talk about that this evening. There's no need.
No, are you here with anyone?
Just my family.
Right, yeah, there's a few of you around here.
There's a bunch of us around the city in general, I think.
Well, it was a pleasure to make your acquaintance, and I'm sure we will see each other again.
If you have any more questions about the art, I probably have answers.
Do you run this gallery?
No. I just read a lot.
Me as well.
Besides, this is the only piece in here this evening that you would know. The rest have been lovingly made by the hopeful and the not yet named.
Shall we place our bets? Who is going to make it?
Well, I think I have an unfair advantage on you in that one.
How so?
It's not about what the art looks like. It's about the taste of the people buying it. And I know for a fact that there's one individual here, Priscilla Wallstrand. And every single year, she buys one painting from the gallery. And every year, it is a painting done by a child of 9 years old. And there is only one 9-year-old fine artist in this group this year. And it would be that one. And she points to an adjacent wall. And there is this, it's hard to explain, it's dark colors swirling. But the longer you look at it, the more you see that it looks like a path and a dark forest and twisting tree limbs, and then as if it like blends back in a mist of paint. And then farther, it looks like a road snakes through mountains, and then the fog of clouds. It's a very odd optical illusion of a painting, almost. And that might be the most interesting one yet.
Jo clasps her hands behind her back and approaches the painting. She stares at it intently, her eyes following the whirls of paint, the implied dark forest. And as she looks, it almost seems to move, and it triggers this deeply buried memory of a dark forest, a girl. And then she shakes her head and turns on her heel back to face Jack and Yarrow. Well, it is exceptional, especially for a 9-year-old, but what a strange tradition.
Well, not to bring the mood down, but Priscilla Wallstrand had a 9-year-old son who went missing, and she's been hung up on him ever since.
How many years ago was this?
About 7.
Tragic. She turns back to study the painting again. I don't like it. The painting.
Well, you're not buying it, so I guess that's okay.
That's true.
Also, not to be rude, Joe, but I didn't know you had a mother.
Doesn't everyone?
You know what I mean. I will leave you if you have any more questions.
I know where to go.
Lovely to meet you.
Likewise.
And she kind of strolls through this gallery space and every so often stops off with one of the people there. Get away from the creepy painting, okay? And you can tell me about your mom if you want to, because that was a drop. I come into this thinking that you're like an orphan who Mama Amaretta took in, and now I'm finding out you have a mother.
Mama doesn't just take in orphans. Although, for many intents and purposes, I am one.
You've got JJ, you've got you. That's the only two people she's taken in. Both of you without families, or I assumed, or was told.
I don't really speak to my mother, but she's very much alive. She does not live in this country. She lives overseas, where I'm from. She's brilliant and gorgeous and cruel. She brought me up in places quite like this, actually. I had my first glass of champagne when I was 9, alone in the coat closet, sitting on top of her fur coat while she socialized.
We didn't have to come here, you know. If it brings it back, we can leave.
It's all right. I like to support the family that I have chosen. And I'm glad you're here.
All right. I can live with that.
What would you say if we found a coat closet?
I would say that that was what I was thinking, but I didn't want to presume nothing.
I'm the one doing the presuming, so.
Jack grabs Joe's hand and pulls you out of the gallery, out of the main hall. And as you are coming out of the main hall down where the stairs were that you first came in, you see, hopping up the stairs, none other than Zion. In not black tie, has pants on that like are his pants, but they're not well fitted. Has a shirt that's open like pretty far down the chest, but looks to have like water stains on it, and has a bandana tied, pulling his hair out of his face. Seems a little bit flustered and, like, harried.
I thought Zion wasn't coming tonight.
Who? What? Where?
Mama's son. I specifically thought he's quite underdressed.
Well, no, he does not look like he's supposed to be here, but that's none of my business, you know?
Joe, like, looks at Jack for a second, weighs her options.
Perhaps I check on him later.
Sounds good. Mama, you see him first, just attuned to your kids and their movement. You see a flutter of activity by the door, and you look up and you see your son, disheveled, looking around, and catches your eyes and kind of like lifts up a hand and waves over, and then kind of like jogs across the room to you.
Hey! Sorry I'm late.
Hi, honey. Did work keep you late?
I talked to Ernesto and told him about trying to leave and everything, and we just didn't know if it was going to happen, so I came as soon as I had the chance. Oh, I kind of ran here the last few blocks. I don't run a lot.
I mean, you should make sure you exercise, but also let's get you a glass of water or something to drink.
Thank you. Aunt Gwen, nice to see you.
Looks him up and down.
Well, I guess I lead most of the family obeyed the dress code.
Is there something in, like, the back somewhere that we could maybe...
You'll have to ask Andreas. I don't know if he brought any extra clothes. I'll figure something out.
Eyes kind of look over to JJ.
Oh, Zion, I thought you weren't,
I didn't know if I was gonna come. I didn't know if I could get off work.
Oh my god, you're wet. And JJ will, like, take off their jacket and be like,
Does this help at all? Kind of puts it on.
It's avant-garde.
All right. You look really nice.
Oh, thanks. It was just, I don't know, you know, one of those things where I was like, oh, what if I, like, got this, and you throw it together, and then you look how you look at the end.
Well, how you look is nice, so.
For what it's worth, I think you could sell the avant-garde.
Arthur comes back and appears kind of right behind you.
The dress is a tank top dress, and I do not know if Arthur has seen the, like, electrical scars that run now along JJ's shoulders. Oh, Arthur, this is my, this is Zion, Mama's son. We've been friends for, feels like forever sometimes.
It's nice to meet you, Zion.
Oh, Zion, this is Arthur. We met him during our last...
JJ, and Arthur kind of runs a thumb over your shoulder. What happened?
You know, dangerous job. Something that happens.
Did it hurt?
I don't remember. Which is the funniest part. But I'm good now. I mean, there's, like, headaches from time to time and, like, the sleep. But, you know, it's only been 3-4 weeks. You know how electricity is. Not to be played with.
Do you have a problem with that, Arthur? No. I just didn't know it had happened. There is a intensity from Zion in this moment as he looks at Arthur, and an innocent naivete of Arthur not getting the hint or the vibe that Zion is putting off. And Zion says, all right, well, I'll be right back. I'm gonna go see if I can make this more appealing. I don't know.
If someone says something to you about it, they're snooty art assholes. I think you look nice. Kind of trying to parrot the same way he said to her earlier.
Thank you. But I gotta show face for my uncle, I guess. Something a little nicer than this on his big night. I should have gone home first, and just shaking his head, walking off.
So you saw your professor.
Arthur launches into this nostalgic story of class with this professor that JJ only half hangs on to. And you spend the next hour chatting with Mama Amaretta's family. Arthur has introduced you to a couple individuals that he knows from college, university. Drinks are had, hors d'oeuvres are had. Yarrow comes over at some point to join the family group. You watch Jack pull Joe back into this hall after you hadn't seen them for a little bit of time. And they're keeping a bit of a distance from the rest of this group when there is another chiming of a glass. And everyone's heads turn as Rosalind takes the stage once again. Andreas now has stepped off the stage to join his wife. And Rosalind says, please gather. Thank you. Tonight, you will hear a range of musical talents. Each participant will come up, introduce themselves, and play their piece. At any time, you may show your interest in one of them or their handler. Handlers have been assigned by the society to be impartial and are to be available to answer any questions you may have about the artist in question. Handlers, please raise your hand, and you see scattered throughout the room are individuals in plain black suits raising their arms. Without further ado, and the chandeliers in the hall dim, some people move closer to the stage, some people stay where they are. No one completely stops talking, though they are polite enough to turn to whispers. And a spotlight flicks onto the stage. Are you at all interested in continuing to watch this?
I think JJ is going to turn to Arthur. I'm going to run to the bathroom real fast. I
didn't even realize, just a few too many. You know how it is. I'll be right back.
Oh, of course. I'll be right here.
They're going to take the opportunity to escape outside for a moment to take a breath of air. It's a crowded place. There's been a lot of noise, a lot of people, and a lot of looking for Zion unsuccessfully after he left.
Mama, are you staying to watch with your brother and sister-in-law and kids?
I'll spend time with my family.
I think Jo playfully hooks her finger into one of Jack's belt loops and kind of like brings her hip close and is like, shall we stay?
I think it would be kind of amusing to watch these rich fucks try to bet themselves out of money for no reason.
That is exactly what I was thinking.
Also, free drinks.
You know, sometimes I actually really like you.
Okay. Why did you say that? Like you don't just like me in general.
Do I like you in general?
I know where you like me.
I think Jo kind of smacks her on the butt and is like, that's right.
So you sit and you watch a couple young people come up onto stage. One of them plays like classical acoustic guitar. One of them sings a familiar song that is definitely much too old for this individual to be singing, but there they are. It's very popular. And then there's a little bit of a commotion as three stagehands pull a harp up onto the stage. And a girl, probably one of the older ones who've performed so far, not yet out of high school, but probably 17 or 18 years of age, sits on a stool next to it. She is wearing almost like a Greek style of cream dress, strapless, with a like white flower crown around her head. And she hits a string just to hear it, and it reverberates. And it almost feels like, for all of you watching, like the lights in the room dim even more and that spotlight on her grows brighter. And she settles her hands on either side to play. And the first note, the smallest note in the world for Jo and JJ, seems to come to a halt. This note rings. It resonates prolonged throughout the room. It's sweet. It's mesmerizing. You feel warmth blossom in your heart. Pictures start erupting in your head of you, of people you know, of memories. Another note, and you are sucked into this vortex that feels like it's squeezing your brain, and colors are erupting everywhere around you.
This series stars Kenzie Tartaglioni as the Game Master, Atlas Matthews as JJ August, Danielle Halen as Mama Amaretta, and April Consolo as Joanna Gilmore, with Michelle Kelly performing our episode recaps. You can help us out by listening and sharing, rating and reviewing, or coming over to our Discord. Also, you can join our Patreon to get access to our episodes.